Good morning, everyone. We begin in Libya. If you had been watching Libyan state television in Tripoli over the last 24 hours, you would have been watching a documentary on heart disease. But for the people of Tripoli and for the people of the nation of Libya, the liberation of Tripoli arrived in the form of a text message to thousands of residents of the capital. "We congratulate the Libyan people," the message read, "even as rebels on the road to Tripoli all day Sunday discovered little or no resistance by pro-Muammar Gaddafi forces." Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi spoke to his people on Sunday, calling them to rise up and support him.
"You have to go and fight and protect your country, your dignity, your patron. I will be with you, among you, in Tripoli. There is no going back."
No going back, indeed. The answer from the people of Tripoli was to take to the streets, chanting for Gaddafi to leave as the rebels gained momentum throughout the day. Firing into the air, celebration all night and into the morning. The rebels reportedly control as much as 95% of Tripoli at this hour, but there was fighting. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes accompanied the rebels as they engaged in street battles with what's left of the forces of Muammar Gaddafi.
"Well, I can tell you that we went into Tripoli this morning just after daybreak. We drove down the road from Zawiya into Tripoli. As we went into the city, it was very, very quiet, very few people on the streets. We then drove right into the middle of Tripoli and joined up with a convoy of rebels as we drove along the seafront towards the city centre, towards Green Square. And just as we were entering the high-rise area, the central business district of Tripoli, on the seafront there, we came under ambush from Gaddafi loyalists. And this sound will give you an idea of what came next."
"That's a JW barrier from the left. Yeah. Go left, go left, go left! Go left, go left, go left! Straight up, straight up! Stop, 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 stop!
I think what it tells us that is that Tripoli is not secure. It is not under the control of the rebels. There are definitely pockets of resistance. That was, I can tell you, that was a pickup truck with two 20mm cannons on the back of it, suddenly pulled out from a side street and opened up at point-blank range on the convoy in front of us. We don't know how many of the rebels were killed. Certainly many of their vehicles were cut to pieces. We managed to get out of there. But I think what it shows is what we saw last night, the celebrations in Green Square, are perhaps misleading as to the situation in Tripoli. There are definitely pro-Gaddafi loyalists who are in the city, and they are fighting back. It is not under the control of the rebels."
Reporting for us on what it was like accompanying the Libyan rebels into Tripoli and confronting what may be some of the last pockets of resistance to the rebellion by the forces of Muammar Gaddafi, that was the BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes. Gaddafi, according to various reports, is either holed up in a well-defended compound or possibly already in exile in Algeria. Again, his whereabouts unknown. His two sons, closest to him, have been captured by the rebels.
Now to the Libyan city of Misrata with the BBC's Jonathan Head. We spoke to him earlier about the celebrations taking place after the news of Tripoli reached them.
"It's been extraordinary. I mean, this city has suffered more than any other. It's the third largest in Libya, but for most of the last 6 months, it's been besieged by forces loyal to Colonel Gaddafi. They only broke that siege about 2 weeks ago, and it was only then they stopped suffering attacks by rockets and mortar shells. And now, all of a sudden, they've achieved a goal that none of them thought would happen this quickly, and they've lost a lot of people here in this fight. Late last night, there were horns honking, people running around, celebrating in the way they do here in Libya with enormous rounds of gunfire. It can be a bit intimidating, all this gunfire firing off all over your heads and up into the sky. Went well into the small hours of the morning. So it's fairly quiet now. Things tend to start late here. This morning, we're expecting to see what they're going to do from here to try and open the road to Tripoli. At the moment, despite those successes of the opposition inside Tripoli, from here in Misrata, they've still not managed to open the road. There are still forces loyal to Colonel Gaddafi who've been resisting them. They've taken quite heavy losses. And so they'll need to see if they can clear that road. Once these two cities are joined together, then I think they'll feel they really have consolidated their grip on the country."
Jonathan, the internet was restored after weeks of people in Tripoli not being able to use it, and it appears that suddenly the Twitter sphere went wild. Have you seen tweets and messages coming out of Tripoli?
"An enormous number. It's an absolute torrent. You know, I mean, people beside themselves with euphoria. I just think for everybody, this. And it's not over, and they are reporting they're still fighting. I mean, there still will be civilian casualties. But large parts of the capital, literally rose up. And we've been speaking, we can speak by phone to some of them now as well. The mobile phone network's back up. We spoke to somebody just a few minutes ago in a neighborhood in the east of Tripoli, and she said, you know, it's amazing. Her neighborhood, the local people have gone out, formed barricades. They're checking who goes in and out. Yes, they're shooting in some neighborhoods, but for us, it's completely peaceful. We have, in effect, taken over our neighborhood from Gaddafi almost in the space of 24 hours. And she said it's a wonderful feeling. There's still a little bit of apprehension. They're not sure whether there's going to be some kind of counterattack by Gaddafi forces. And my own colleagues have encountered some very heavy fire, ambushes even by those forces that remain loyal to Colonel Gaddafi. So it's not settled in Tripoli, but it's gone a lot better for the opposition than they hoped.
Jonathan, tell us if you can how people in Misrata got the news that things were finally reaching a point of real climax here, because Libya has been so isolated city to city for weeks now.
They have some channels of communication. There are a few people with satellite phones. Remember, this is people here, particularly Misrata. It's a relatively well-off city compared to the rest of the country. People have quite a bit of equipment. They have found ways to get access to the internet as well, and have been watching tweets. You know, we know they've been in phone contact, and it is mostly satellite phones with key people inside Tripoli. That information came through very fast, just as on Saturday night too, when the first uprising started. None of us here knew anything about it. The first thing we heard was a barrage of gunfire. We all ran out wondering what it was about, because it had been pretty quiet up to then. And it was only when we asked people, they said, yep, we've heard this uprising has started. And then we started trying to find out what was going on in Tripoli, and heard later than they did. So the channels of communication for essential information have remained open. People here have remained very well informed and have kept in touch with relatives in Tripoli.
That's the BBC's Jonathan Head from the eastern city of Misrata. They're watching the events in Tripoli unfolding to the west. He spoke with us earlier this morning. We are getting reports that the fighting is actually intensified around the compound, Muammar Gaddafi's compound. Rebel officials have said, rather vaguely, that a big number of rebels have been killed in that immediate area. In the meantime, journalists are still holed up inside the hotel, with the Gaddafi loyalists surrounding the hotel. We will bring you breaking news as it develops and all the details out of Tripoli as we get them this morning of what's going on in the capital of Libya.
Stepping away from Libya for a moment at 15 minutes after the hour with these headlines. Hurricane Irene passing over Puerto Rico this morning, the first named hurricane of the Atlantic season, picking up strength now. Hours earlier, Irene was over the U.S. Virgin Islands, where Lorena Leonard watched from the safety of her hotel.
The waves are up over our sand and, you know, hitting into our sidewalks, and it's actually quite beautiful.
And not especially strong, although it does have winds blowing at 75 miles an hour. Forecasters predict it will make landfall in the U.S. later this week. Prosecutors in New York City expected to drop sexual assault charges against former IMF chief Dominic Strauss-Kahn today. Overseas, rockets are still flying from Gaza into Israel despite a truce. Last night, rockets were fired from the Palestinian territory into southern Israel. Israel retaliated with an airstrike earlier this morning. The exchange of fire continues days of clashes between Gaza militants and Israeli forces, sparked by a border ambush by Palestinian gunmen last week. In Syria, President Bashar Assad is warning the international community to stay out of Syrian affairs, even as matters broil in Libya, just to the west of Syria. And in an interview on state television Sunday, President Assad said there would be, quote, repercussions if foreign countries tried military intervention in Syria to help protesters. You're listening to The Takeaway. Coming up, we get some fresh analysis on the dramatic events in Libya and speak to Ibrahim Sharkia from the Doha Center in Qatar. And we also want to hear from you on this. As the Gaddafi regime crumbles, what role should the U.S. have in building a new democratic Libya? Call us with your views at 877-8-MY-TAKE.